All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Here's a bit of trivia before we press on here.
Oh, I love trivia. You know, I used to invite everybody over. Saturday night trivia.
We'll just take a little poll amongst the five of us here, maybe four of us. How many cars does Jeff own from the John and Jeff Show?
Oh, good question. How many cars? We have some Jeopardy music. How many cars does...
Maybe we have a giveaway. Can we give some away? Can we give away tickets to an audience member?
Yeah, how about some Avengers tickets?
All right.
Okay, Gina, that'd be great. I'm really glad that you spent some time with Tiffany Graniff. I think it's really helped.
Okay.
I don't know if he wants us to reveal this on the air, but he's cool. What's he going to do? Fight us?
So the question is for the audience, how many cars, automobiles...
Does Jeff from the John and Jeff Show own, if any?
Jeff C.
Right.
It could be zero.
Right, and it could be 1,000. It's between 0 and 1,000.
Okay, I'll give that clue.
All right, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. The winner's going to get Avengers tickets. Going to see the voodoo.
Wow.
That you do.
Here's the I love the Jeopardy music. Next, we'll get the match game.
Sorry,
no. And now, here is the host of Jeopardy, Alex Trebek.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you to our contestants, and let's get right to our categories.
Alex Trebek.
Thank you, Johnny.
Kind of a subdued.
Cars that Jeff owns.
And our categories are cars that Jeff owns, followed by cars that John owns.
Here's Jimmy.
Cars that Jeff won't drive, cars that John can't drive, and finally, potpourri.
Correct.
I love potpourri.
All right, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710.
If you give me match game music, I'll write down my answer as if I'm, you know, Richard Dawson writing the answer to a match.
Here's the clue, players.
All right, how many cars does Jeff own?
Yeah.
From the,
All right.
The John and Jeff Show.
Not wild, I did not know that. It's labeled match game, Jerry.
David and Fontana, you're on 97.1.
Yes.
How many cars?
Seven.
Wrong.
Sorry. I have written down.
I'm not going to say if it's higher or lower. And that's your response?
That is my response.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
I'm not going to say higher or lower.
That's fine.
I'm just going to keep taking calls until we get it.
Sure. Right. Okay.
Freddie in Cyprus, how many cars does Jeff from the John and Jeff Show? How many does he own?
He owns two.
Does not. That's wrong. Tim and San Pedro, you're on 97.1.
I don't know if you guys said three, but I'm going
to
go with three.
Three is wrong.
Three cars is incorrect. Three automobiles, not correct.
All right, here's Jeff coming in right now. Hey, Jeff, come on in here for a second, then. Don't flip me off.
Mm-hmm. You can't say you're not loved at the workplace, Tim.
A-hole. All right, let's talk to Greg and Yorba Linda. You're on 97.1.
Yeah, I'm going to say two, man.
Two is wrong.
Not that, no.
Kristen in Riverside, you're on 97.1.
Five
is wrong.
Five.
Here's Jeff from the John and Jeff Show. Our quick trivia for tonight is how many cars you own.
Now,
I hope you don't mind us telling the audience.
I don't care.
Have you ever revealed it?
I love talking about cars.
But have you ever revealed how many you own?
I don't think I've said. I've talked about cars
a lot. Right, when cars come up, you always know.
I love talking about cars.
Right, now,
You should be doing that Amco show with Dan and Jim. And
yeah.
We're not revealing. Tim's not saying to the listeners if they're high or low, and I would ask you not to say higher or lower, but I wrote this number down, which is apparently incorrect.
That is wrong.
That is not the answer. That is not the answer Tim is looking for.
All right, Brian in Anaheim, how many cars does Jeff own from the John and Jeff Show?
Three.
That's wrong. Jason in Hollywood, how many?
12.
No, sir. Eric in Moreno Valley, how many cars?
Five.
Five is wrong. James in Arcadia, how many does he own?
Four.
Wrong.
Which
Rob.
Is, by the way, four is what I had written down. So
Rob in Ontario, how many cars?
Nine.
That's wrong. Nobody's got it so far.
Wow.
I'll give you a hint. It's an even number. Ryan in Riverside, you're on 97.1. How many cars?
I say six.
That's wrong. Charlie in Torrance, how many cars?
I say eight.
That's exactly right, dude.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Wow.
Eight cars. What are you, Jay Leno?
Guys own eight cars, man.
Jay Leno was my hero, though. He is my hero.
What do you got?
Where do you put them?
The garage. I have a couple at my parents' house, and I have a couple at my friend's house. My wife is like saying...
You got the pink slips on every car?
I do.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So that's like your hobby. That's like your Jones.
That's my passion.
It's also a great investment if you have the pink slip. And
some of the vehicles that I have are I'm holding on to them for investment purposes.
Are they all running?
Six of them are running. Decent.
And there was nine or eight.
No, there's eight. And eight two of them are not running. Let me rewind here. They're not yet. Five are running decent.
Uh-oh.
And two aren't running, and one is about ready to die.
Oh, so now what is the deal? Do you spend your time off trying to get those currently inoperable automobiles back on the road? Is that like your weekend activity?
I spend a little time on the weekend, yeah. I go to car shows, and I look around.
That's cool.
Car
shows.
With them.
I used to go to car shows when I was a kid because my best friend's brother had a 68 Mustang Fastback.
Nice.
And it was beautiful, and they rebuilt it together, and it was beautiful, and they used to show it. And, on the weekend, we'd go to the car shows were cool. That was fun.
My favorite car, the car that I will never get rid of, isn't worth anything, really, except to me it's worth its weight in gold. It's a sentimental car. It was my father's car.
Oh, I see.
And it's an 89 Chrysler. It's a boat.
Wow.
That's right.
And that car is worth more to me than any other car I would ever want to buy. Yeah.
Is your dad still with us?
No, he left this world 8 years ago.
Oh, is that right? Wow.
So, yeah, I still have his car. It's covered. It's at his house in his garage. I take it out.
And you drive it
a couple times a year. Yeah, and I still feel like I'm 16 when I'm driving it. I'm all nervous, like I'm borrowing the car to go to the prom. it's always a big deal. Was it a big deal for you guys to borrow your dad's car?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it took an act of Congress
to
get the approval. But when you did, the freedom.
Right.
I went to my prom in my dad's Cadillac Seville.
Oh, you were pimping.
That's
sweet. That's nice.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I didn't get any action, but I went to the prom.
Tim, I didn't get any action either at the prom.
You didn't either?
I lied.
Did you get any at the prom, Whippin?
We have to do this. I didn't go to the prom, Tim.
You didn't go?
No.
Jerry, did you go to the prom?
Yeah, I went. I didn't get any action either, though. I went with a friend of mine.
But did you lie and say you did get action? Because I did.
Who'd you go with, Scott?
Yeah, I took a guy to the prom.
You say you were the friend with
me. I have girlfriends, too.
Oh, Jerry, please.
But I actually had
you, dude.
I had a reason. I got out of the New York City public school system 6 months early. They had an early deal where, because they've designed the New York, I learned that the New York City public school system was created so that you could really, really F up and still graduate on time. So if you managed to really not F up a whole lot, and I didn't, I mostly went to class and
got out early.
Passed, you could, at one point, they would say to you, 6 months before graduation, your guidance counselor would look at you and go, you can go now. And you go, F, I'm out.
You got the credits.
Yeah,
let's go.
Done. And I did, and I left. It was a great 6 months.
That must have been unbelievable.
It was a great 6 months. I did nothing.
Sleep till noon?
I loved it.
Hey, Gina, did you go to your prom in high school?
Yeah, I went to my junior and senior prom.
Did you get action on any one of them?
I did, but not with my date.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Wow, look at you.
Do you have photos?
Well, see, it's Kansas, and we ended up at a Holodome.
What is that?
Hala.
You guys don't know what a Holodome is here? The Holiday Inn, but it has the dome roof, and it's a big deal in the Midwest.
No, we don't have that.
And the pool is in the lobby.
Oh, yeah, the indoor pool. And so you end up banging somebody else, not your date.
Well, I didn't bang anybody.
Oh, you made love.
No, I didn't do any. I wasn't like that.
Oh, wait, you said you got any action.
I got action.
What?
I got action.
But you didn't make love.
No, I didn't make sweet, sweet love.
But
for
did
a long
you?
Time.
You did, right? Yeah, you did. I mean, the audience. You did that, right?
I did.
Okay. And
everybody in the dome got a piece, huh?
Everybody in the by the way, did you do that in the dome, in the pool? Ugh,
no,
in the lobby?
This is out of control.
No, where'd you do it? No, I want to know. You had a room at the Holiday Dome. I want to know where in the dome you did it.
There was a traveling band of hockey players.
Hello.
And we ended up hanging. We just ended up hanging out.
The Chiefs were in town? You hit the Hanson brothers? It's an old Slapshot reference. All right, Randy, did you go to your prom, dude?
Yeah, I went to my senior prom.
Did you get any action?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Really? You didn't? Did you
But to be fair, I went with someone who asked me and paid for me.
Now, I had heard, Randy, at your prom.
You're a stud, dude.
I don't know if this is true, that in the men's room, you tackled a guy. Is that true?
It's so true.
What?
It was a wild scene.
Right, you tackled, you like ran.
Yeah, and drunk?
Tackled a dude?
I tackled a guy, yeah. He was being real rude to me. I was a little bummed, and I just went for it.
It was adversarial.
And that didn't turn her on enough?
No.
Did you wear your Magic Mountain outfit?
In the name tag?
with a tuxedo coat?
You want to hear something? Actually, I wore the Magic Mountain outfit. I had to go to the prom right after Magic Mountain, so I had to change into my tuxedo while driving to school.
I'm embarrassed.
But yeah, I got nothing. But in fairness, my date wasn't all that hot.
Wait a minute. Did you drive and change? Because,
yeah.
You know, a lot of guys can't do that. And I think I'm one of them. You have to pull the car over, like, to put the pants on. I could not.
Luckily, my Magic Mountain pants were black. So I wore the same pants that I wore at Magic Mountain.
Oh. To the prom.
Oh, my Lord.
Little food stains on it. A little funnel cake.
No.
Dust.
This is when I was a supervisor. I didn't do any hard
sugar.
Work.
Yeah, funnel cake dust on your prom suit.
That's pretty cool, dude. Hey, luckily, you weren't working in the glazed donut section that day. Like, oh, that guy's really excited about prom. All right, Jeffo, thanks for coming in, buddy. You're a major stud.
You're a stud.
The John and Jeff Show, everybody.
We'll have a Smithix.
Yeah, look at that guy.
Help yourself to anything that you want to drink. I mean,
all right. Eight cars, that guy.
We have Coke and iced
tea. We'll have a Smithix.
Sure.
Whatever. Eight cars. Jesus Christ.
Eight cars. I think Jay Leno has only 11 or 14.
I think that is correct. No, he's got more than that.
No, I think it's like 14. I think Jeff is in a race with Jay Leno. I think they're competing.
Wow.
They don't even know it, man.
All right.
That's a great story.
All right. Tomorrow there's going to be a big deal going on in the United States of America. For the first time in the history of this country.
Yes, this great land.
Yeah, the United States is going to try to shoot down a satellite.
I hope there's some Ruskies in it, man.
No, we love the Russian community now after Perestroika, and they're our friends. But this Vladimir Putin, a lot of people don't trust him. But anyway, what's happening?
Here's how the shootdown's going to work and where it's going to take place and how you can see it and everything, all right? There's a satellite the size of a school bus.
Right.
That's roaming around the world.
Right.
And it is going to come very close to, I guess, the United States of America, North America.
Problem.
So they want to nail it with a missile before it comes down.
So right, so it doesn't fall on people and injure and kill people. It'd be a catastrophe.
Yeah, you want to blow that sucker up.
And you said,
oh,
Tim,
my word.
It's the size of a school bus?
Size of a big school bus, yeah.
Wow.
So it could really, you know, it could wipe out
a whole neighborhood.
Or like a town, you know, if that thing hit like a small town, it could probably, you know, kill a couple hundred people. Because it's coming in at,
you'd have glass flying 15,000
miles an hour or so.
And you think, you know, a big, big satellite like that, man, it hit the ground and it'd cause some devastation, man. But then it'd bounce down the street, man, and take others out too, man. That's why we gotta send something up there to shoot them to the hell out.
All right, here's the technology that's going to take it out of the sky. The U.S. Navy could shoot down a spy satellite as early as Wednesday night. That's tonight.
Wow.
Now a new computer model shows what might happen. The spy satellite, USA 193, also known around my house as NROL-21, but, you know, I'm probably tracking this stuff too closely.
Right, I mean, you're really watching it.
Was launched aboard a Delta Rocket 2 on December 14, 2006 from Vandenberg Air Force Base, just north of Los Angeles.
Buddy, I'm getting a message here on the computer. Do you see that message there at the bottom?
Is that right? It's already shot down. There you go. Here's what would have happened an hour ago. From Vandenberg Air Force Base, they evidently shot a missile.
Okay.
Let's see here. The satellite's objective was secret, so they can't talk about it.
Right.
But many believe it probably was a high-resolution radar satellite intended to produce images for the National Reconnaissance Office.
Oh, right. That's cool.
But this is what I want to talk about. Even though if we've shot it down, that's great news if we have. But the guy doing the math on this.
On the shoot down?
Yeah. The guy that's put together all the math on where it's going to be.
The coordinates.
Yeah, because there's a lot of space up there.
Oh, well, it's in infinity.
Yeah. And they're going to take a missile from a ship or from Vandenberg Air Force Base, mm-hmm. blast it off. Maybe they already did. Who knows? And try to hit this sucker before it hits the United States.
Right. To protect the good people of America.
Right. Now, that guy did his homework more than you and I did.
Oh, sure he did.
And wouldn't you love to be at the track, the racetrack with that dude?
Well, he's probably, do you think he does a lot of the math? Let me ask you this. Think he does it mostly in his head, or do you think he has like a calculator
I don't know.
Do you think he has one of those extended calculators that performs functions that ordinary calculators don't? Or is he on computers, or is this guy just a genius?
I don't know, but I bet he's a guy who is also not getting laid. You know?
Right, he has the time.
He walks around like he's the big stud at NASA.
Right, of course.
Because he's the go-to guy.
He is.
But then he leaves NASA and he goes to, Onion, or the Red Onion.
Right.
And he's walking around, not getting any chicks.
Right.
That's the devastation in all of this.
That's the real sad part. I think you're right, Tim. The real sadness.
He's in Acapulco or Carlos and Charlie's, wherever he's going.
And he's alone.
Houlihan's.
He's alone.
Maybe he's at Houlihan's in Encino.
Yeah. With like a appetizer?
Yeah. Or at the...
Alone?
Yeah, just walking around. He's got like an appetizer. Maybe he's... See, for guys like that, the buffet is their aircraft carrier. They always go and they can always know that they can go and spend 2 minutes there alone and then get food and, fly off and try to get some more chicks, then land back at the buffet. But this guy is probably not getting laid.
He can
shoot down a satellite.
Yeah, right. But lacks,
chicks aren't into that,
I guess. Well, this is it, Tim. Oftentimes, and we all know people like this, they excel in certain areas. They naturally, it seems almost always, lack in another area. For example, science, and this is what we're talking about. We're talking about successful people in the world of science or physics or chemistry or mathematicians or engineers. They're really gifted when it comes to those. I mean, they're some of the smartest people you'll ever meet. They're geniuses. But socially, they're almost retarded, And I don't mean that. I mean, socially, their social functions are almost retarded. Because they just can't get it together. They're just like weird dudes, you know? Mm-hmm.
Here's an update coming out of Washington. A missile launched from a Navy ship successfully struck a dying U.S. spy satellite passing 130 miles over the Pacific Ocean. And it happened about 9:30 p.m. Central Time.
Oh.
Which is...
Is there a balloon
7:30?
Letting
7:30?
Is there a balloon letting air out?
No, it's 8:30.
No. Central time?
7:30.
That's 2 hours.
Oh, Jerry.
Officials said the missile was launched successfully. Uh-huh. One official who is close to the process said it hit the target. He said details on the results were not immediately known. But I guess they got pictures of this, too.
I have a question.
That's a timing pattern.
Oh, of course. It's all timing. I have a quick question. The satellite that is almost broken or for some reason they had to shoot it down, when was it launched initially? Has it been up there like
good question.
The days of Reagan? I mean,
it was 2006.
Okay. So it's not like this thing's been up there for 20 years.
No. March 14, 2006.
Also, it died out prematurely. Must have been something wrong. Another tarnish, another taint on NASA's record. They throw a satellite up there that breaks while it's flying through space, and we have to shoot the effing thing out of space. Guys, I mean, when are we going to stop with this nonsense?
We need to go to break!
With this space exploration. When they can get it down, and I mean down, then we'll go. Until then, stop it.
Now, can you imagine how much paperwork went into this? I mean, in NASA, if you have to sign off on somebody, and like three people have to sign off on one guy taking a day off.
Oh, I'm sure it's amazing.
How much paperwork went into, hey, we're going to shoot a satellite then?
We're going to run that
by. Now, if this missile missed the satellite, does it go on forever?
I think what happens is the missile is powered by, in this case, I don't know what.
Probably solid rocket fuel.
Okay. All right. So I would assume that the solid rocket fuel would at some point obviously burn out to the point where there would be no fuel. If that happened before the missile collided with something and created some explosion in space, then the missile, I assume, if it missed, would just float around like a toy, like just some
But wouldn't it keep going? Like, if it's going 25,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And it ran out of fuel. If it's in space, it continues to go 25,000 miles forever until it hits something.
At that speed?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
I don't know if it maintains its speed. I'm not a scientist, but I don't know if it maintains its speed. But I do know that there would be...
Maybe it slingshots around another planet and even picks up speed. You heard of that?
Well, which also... Yeah, I don't think it would ever fall out of space. But then again, some stuff does, like space junk. You've heard of space junk.
Yes.
Some stuff doesn't make it. It goes around the planet, but it falls out.
All right, if somebody could clear this up for us, maybe somebody who has, stayed in class longer than we did. You work at Rocketdyne or Rockwell or NASA, or you got a some kind of degree that can help the layperson out here.
Right. Yeah.
What happens here? We got a bunch of questions about the satellite that was shot out of the air at 9:30, which is 7:30 our time.
A good candidate to call in tonight. Ask yourself, has it been 25 years since I've been laid? If the answer to that question is yes, run to the phone.
All right. 520-9710. We're looking for a smart dude or a chick to tell us we got some questions about this satellite being shot down. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It's the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. And it was about 3 hours ago that a satellite was shot down over Hawaii or the Northern Pacific.
Whoa.
And it only took these chaps in the Navy one shot, man.
They got it in one shot.
Yeah, they shot a missile and busted up an effed up satellite. They effed up that effed up satellite.
It makes you so proud, honestly, to think about the precision the intelligence and the education that goes into creating people who can do that in one shot and something so sophisticated. It's right. It makes you, with wonderment, you listen to that story.
You know, it was such a, the operation was so intense and so sensitive that the actual defense secretary, Robert Gates, is the guy who finally said, let's go. He's the guy that made the decision.
But I bet he made a call before that.
I guess so.
Hey, Bob, how are you? Just sitting out here, with Laura, we're having a cookout. Oh, it's Laura, pardon me for a moment. And to walk away from the little lady, since we're talking business, I guess it's time to blow up the old Adelaide, say. I say, let's roll. God bless.
Hangs the phone up.
Hey, baby. You have more tartar sauce? Back and forth.
You know, ultimately, he's in on it.
That's exactly probably the way it happened.
He had to give a green light. I mean, the president of the United States was shooting rockets into the air without him knowing.
Yeah, I'm sure he knew. Philip in Westminster, you're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you?
Hey, Big Timmy. You're Big Spud, man.
Hey, dude. You're a scientist?
Yes, I am. Have the answer for this.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, well, basically, it would keep going around 25,000 miles.
That guy didn't sound like a scientist.
It sounded like his phone was his science project. Everybody's asked. I was always terrible.
Fooled grad in there, man.
Yeah. Well,
that guy sound like a scientist to you, baby?
I swear to God, I was really excited that he was official.
He insulted me.
This is how it went down. I swear to you. I go, hi, can I have your name? Yeah, Bob or whatever. Oh, and are you a scientist? I'm an engineer. And that's what engineers sound like.
You owe me an apology. He attacked me personally and said the missile.
I put stars next to him because
I know you put stars next to him. Did you hear where he
three
said
three stars?
Did you hear where Mr. Three Stars, your three-star caller, did you hear where your three-star caller said the missile would land?
But he said he's an engineer.
And Brian Wibbins took us.
Damn it, Gina, that's embarrassing. I've been in radio for 22 years.
I don't come in here to have a-holes on the phone say the missiles are going to fly up my ass. God damn it.
Easy, buddy.
That's an old bull radio meltdown. That's an old, like when I'm in radio 40 years, yeah. Which I'll never be because I'll die before them. But I'll be screaming like that at interns. They'll be like kids who are like not even out of college. God damn it. By the way, I can't tell the story. There's a great story about a Los Angeles radio legend. It's not Rick Dees. It's another radio legend from Los Angeles who...
Scott Shannon?
No. This guy... I guess I can tell the story without... I've told you the story off the air, but I told you who it was. This guy was on In the Morning Forever. That's all I'll say.
Right.
And he hired a producer, a new producer who happens to be a friend of mine, the new guy. And he was... This particular host was very particular about his, you know, where his newspapers would be and where his phone would be and where his, you know...
Right.
And he said something to my friend, and we'll call my friend Bob. Bob is not his name, but he said, Bob, where's that effing intern, that new effing intern? And he said, oh, I don't know. I guess she's running late. And then the host says, don't you effing roll your eyes at me. My buddy goes, honest to God, I didn't roll my eyes at you. He goes, God damn it. He goes, honest to God, I did not roll my eyes at you, sir. I didn't. He goes, God damn it. He picks up his desk and with one arm, as my friend describes it, with one arm clears a desk. Have you ever seen a guy do that?
No.
I've never seen it. Everything, computer, phone, newspapers, whew, to the ground. And then, get the F out.
Jesus Christ.
On the spot. The guy got in the parking lot. I said, how did you feel driving home? He said, I was really depressed, but then I just had to laugh when I started thinking about what happened.
A-hole. William in Hawthorne, you're on 97.1. How are you?
Yeah, how are you doing?
All right, you're an engineer?
Yes.
All right. How did they calculate where this satellite was going to be and all the, you know, all the work that went into it? I'm sure they had to track it. You couldn't track it with just one... tracking station. I imagine it went halfway around the world as it traveled up. Is that right?
Well, as you know, NORAD tracks just about everything in space.
I did not know that, but I know that now.
They use optical trackers and radar.
And what happens if that missile did not hit the satellite? What happens to the missile? I'm sure they had a detonation or a self-detonation where it could destroy itself.
Well, they could probably destroy it by radio command. Or they could just limit the amount of fuel to prevent the missile from reaching about 15,000 miles an hour to be able to orbit.
How fast was that satellite going when it was hit?
Well, it's very similar to shooting down a ballistic missile.
Which is a very challenging thing to do, right?
Well, first of all, the missile is tracked by ground radar with its precise location, and that information is sent to the interceptor as a command guidance.
How fast is the satellite going, though?
Probably about 12,000 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh.
And so you get one split second to hit it, and if you miss it, that missile's gone forever.
Well, like I said, I don't think that missile would be able to escape orbit. It would probably orbit the Earth for maybe a half an orbit and just burn up on its way down.
Oh, you don't think it had the energy to leave the Earth's orbit?
So
No.
You're suggesting then, sir, that the missile, if in the hypothetical that Tim offered, if the missile missed the satellite, the missile would, in a relatively short while, in a matter of hours or days, the missile would fall from space?
I would say the missile burn time would probably not exceed about 10 minutes, if that.
Which means in 10 minutes it would fall back to the Earth?
Yes. It would not be able to achieve escape velocity and travel outside the Earth's orbit.
And where would it fall? Do they know?
KLSX?
Lakewood?
You know, that's something that just depends on... There's a lot of calculations that go into that kind of...
Jesus Christ.
That's a great story.
Right. You know, the thing is that the missile or a satellite is probably tumbling when it's coming down. So it's
yeah. All right, William, thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's a little slow for me. Hold on a sec. Chris in Moore Park, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You build satellites?
Yeah, I work for a company that does build satellites.
All right, I'm going to talk to you when you come back.
All right.
All right. I think you know more than this William guy. Is right?
I think William knew a lot.
Do you think you know more than William?
I may not know more than William. William didn't know a lot. He's just pretty boring, though.
Okay. Right. You're younger and a little peppier.
Hold on.
Don't laugh.
All right, William. We thank you for calling. Hey, do we have tickets to give to William? Give him Avengers tickets. Let him go see the New Orleans Voodoo versus the LA Avengers next Friday night.
Yeah, he's very helpful.
All right, William. There he is. Got energy.
Hold
about
on,
him.
William. He was very excited for the giveaway, and he was right. helpful.
It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.
Ah! Whew!
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.
Rock it out.
Yeah. You know what I'd like to have seen happen with that satellite?
Hmm. You have a fantasy involving the satellite?
Yeah. The satellite that the United States shot down today?
Yes, I'd love to hear your fantasy.
I'd love for the missile to have gone up and just miss the satellite, but get caught up in the wires and the netting.
So kind of get snagged on
it? Yeah, get snagged in the satellite, and it jerks that missile down, and the missile comes down, towing the satellite.
Oh, both.
Going straight down to Earth. The satellite, the missile's pulling that satellite at 28,000 miles an hour towards Earth.
Can you imagine the force?
And Jerry Wyszkowski's coming back from the Commerce after a bad beat. He comes into his house, and right on top of the house.
Whew. Could you imagine the chances of that happening? I mean,
Jerry just had just lost.
I wouldn't have been too disappointed if that did happen. Actually,
he just lost a full house to four of a kind or bigger full house.
Right.
He walks in the door. Lois and what's your dad's name?
His name is Alan.
Phil.
Right.
Phil. Lois and Phil are on vacation, and he opens up the refrigerator to get some peanut butter to put in some celery sticks.
A little celery stick.
And the satellite being pulled by this missile. Right on top of him.
Do you? Let me ask you. In that fantasy,
and he survives, and he's just in pain for years.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was what I was going to ask. In that fantasy of yours that you've just, which is very interesting and kind of intriguing, I was going to ask if Jerry would even feel it.
Yeah, he survives.
Right, but would he feel the impact? Or next thing you know, he'd wake up in a hospital. Would he just go to a state of unconsciousness, or he'd feel that thing fall down on that house?
Yeah, all kinds of pain.
But then I'd have superhuman powers afterwards.
Then you'd be in a wheelchair. You'd be a quadriplegic at the Commerce getting beat. Couldn't go to the second floor.
Yeah, though. But I could sue the government, and I'd be really rich.
You actually would get a lot, wouldn't you?
Kick ass. Jerry's the kind of guy that would volunteer to become a quadriplegic if he could know he could sue somebody.
Well, he's basically one anyway. He's not very much old.
A nut.
He just sits kind of all day anyway. God bless people.
And to add insult to injury, Lois and Phil come back from their Canadian vacation, wherever the F they were fishing.
I'd swear it's Alan.
No, it's Phil.
All right, it's Alan, yeah.
All right, Phil, Alan, and Alan. Lois, the three of them come back. And all they're concerned about is the house. They don't even mention Jerry.
They get on the phone with the insurance.
What's that missile doing at our goddamn house?
Lois, the insurance. Do you have the papers? No, of course you don't have the papers, because a goddamn missile hit the house. The papers were destroyed in the fire created by the missile, Lois.
And the cops there. You know, your son, Gerald, was in the house at the time.
Oh, Gazanef. I don't care where Gerald was. I'm looking for the insurance papers.
It's a missile sticking out of my chimney.
Are you telling me that my insurance premiums, which I pay in the paper and the policy, has been blown to smithereens, and you've come here to waste my time to tell me that Jerry was killed in the accident? God damn it! I'm looking for my documents from Allstate. You take me away from this task to tell me that Jerry didn't survive.
The only thing that survived is Jerry and this bag of stinking salmon from Mexico. All right. Hey, guys, you got to get down to Torrance Spearmint Rhino this coming Tuesday for their midnight drawing, where you can win a trip to the Adam Carolla Show live in Las Vegas. Look at that. For the broadcast on the 28th, you'll also receive a one-night stay at the Palms Resort. and casino and be admitted to the special VIP party at the Spearmint Rhino in Las Vegas.
That's really quite a price.
With the entire Corolla show.
I winded myself. I can... Oh, I'm trying to catch my breath. I'm looking at Jerry. That's making me laugh.
So get down to the Torrance Spearmint Rhino this Tuesday, the 26th, for your chance to win an incredible trip to Las Vegas. And you have to be present to win. So don't think you're going to,
Of course.
You're not going to be there and you're going to win because you're an idiot.
Yeah, you can't phone this one in. You have to be present.
Visit spearmintrhino.com for more details. It's Conway and Whitman live on 97.1 Free FM.